of what we've discussed over the past few weeks. The first thought that came out was thanks 2020 for the reminder. Now, if you were there for that message, you would notice that one of the things that we talked about was that God's blessings transcends all moments of difficulty. When we talked about the story of Joseph in the Old Testament, we know that he went through a lot of things, but he was able to release and let it all go to the Lord. And because of that, God was able to release to him double blessing. How many of you guys know what I'm talking about? Living in double blessing. How many of you could use that still? All right. Amen. The second thing we talked about was thanks 2020 for making me choose. The thought here was that if we are going to choose to be vulnerable, let's be vulnerable with God. Okay, amen. The third thought came from Pastor Brad. How many of you were able to be here for Pastor Brad's message? Amazing message, talking about thanks 2020 for showing me God's will. And one of the key thoughts that came out of that was in everything, give thanks, changing from I'm thankful for, because we're not thankful for everything that happened this year, right? But he went on to say this, to in this circumstance, I'm thankful because. And there are a lot of becauses this year that we can be thankful for. Dr. Dana Cavallaro spoke with us on Wednesday night. And this is one of the key thoughts that I came out with was that thanks 2020 for the confidence to be bold. One of the key thoughts she said was, could crisis be a catalyst for revival? Yes. It can be if we will pray, be filled with the Holy Spirit, and speak the word of God with boldness. Everybody say boldness. And that was one of the key thoughts that came out of that. So today, in wrapping up the series, we are looking at thanks 2020 for having me dig deeper. Everybody this year has had to dig a little deeper. I've had conversations with many of you over the last month and a half, talking about things that the Lord has brought you through because of you having to dig deeper this year. Some of you even have, in discussion, have said, I'm still there. I'm still digging through this circumstance. I'm having to stay in front of the Lord. And guys, listen to this. I'm believing that in all circumstances, God can move, that God can give us victory. So whenever I hear somebody speaking on referring to having to dig deep, there's usually three things that come to my mind. In all my years of athletics and sports, I can tell you that conversation of digging deep came up before the game, at halftime, and during the game. And we would hear it all the time. Boys, if there's ever a time to dig deep, this is when we're going to do it. But for us here today, thinking about 2020 and having to dig deep, here's the first thought, is that you will have to put in the work. I think of visually a shovel in hand. I visually see striking the ground and moving earth. And in spiritually, in that spiritual sense, there is a response that when we dig deep, there is an engagement to what God is calling us to do, and there is movement. The second thought is this, that to dig deep, you're going to have to stand on what you know is true. Let that just kind of sit there for a second, that what you know is true, you're going to have to stand on it. God's word, faith, life lessons, taking a posture of strength. How many of you guys know what a horse stance is? Okay? My oldest son and younger daughter, they took Kung Fu for about 3 years. And one of the first stances they learned was the horse stance. And in the horse stance, they had the leader of the group and all that, he would get out there, their master, I don't know if they call it, sensei, would come out there and he would stand in the middle and he would get into horse stance and he'd have his other ones that worked with him would come up and hit him from the back and from the side and he could not be moved. It's a stance of a strong posture. And that's the way we've got to be with God's word sometimes. Because as the enemy comes, as the enemy goes, as the demons come and the demons go, and as Satan himself comes, we have to know where we stand on God's word. Politically, listen, guys, I'm going to just say this very quickly. We're going to move on. Politically, we got to know where we stand on God's word. Give me an amen on that. A third thing that pops up when I think about digging deep is that sometimes we have to fight back. We have to build up. We have to fortify. We got to push back the oppression. We have to proclaim. Remember, we've talked about this. We just sang about this morning. I don't know if you caught it in the song, when I open up my mouth, okay, miracles begin to happen. Things start going into action. Things are moving, and we understand that God is doing things. This is for us fighting back physically, spiritually, and emotionally. Whatever or whoever might be warring against us, digging deep is going to be a necessity. So there is a story of three kings. King Jehoshaphat, who was the king of Judah, King Joram, who was the king of Israel, and the king of Edom. And they're all at war against Meshah, the king of Moab. Now here's the thing. In this story, what happens is Meshah decides, we're not playing by the rules of Israel anymore. Israelites are not going to tell us what to do. The king of Edom's not going to tell us what to do. We're our own people. We're going to go at war at them. And they were capable of taking out one king at a time. So these three kings decide to get together because the only way they're going to be able to defeat the Moabites was that if they work together. So here we are in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11, and this is what it says. King Jehoshaphat asked, is there a prophet here through whom we can consult the Lord? And an officer of King Joram's forces answered, Elisha, son of Shaphat, is here. He was Elijah's assistant. He is a true prophet, King Jehoshaphat said. So the kings went to Elisha. Why should I help you? Elisha said to the king of Israel. Go and consult those prophets that your father and mother consulted. No, Joram replied. It is the Lord who has put us three kings at the mercy of the king of Moab. And Elisha answered, by the living Lord whom I serve, I swear that I would have nothing to do with you if I didn't respect your ally, King Jehoshaphat of Judah. Now get me a musician. And as the musician played his harp, the power of the Lord came on Elisha. And he said, this is what the Lord says. Dig ditches all over this dry stream bed. And even though you will not see any rain or wind, this stream bed will be filled with water. And you, your livestock, and your pack animals will have plenty to drink. And Elisha continued, but this is an easy thing for the Lord to do. He will also give you victory over the Moabites. This is an easy thing. Everybody say easy. So this is what we know. I'm going to just kind of go through this very quickly. This is what we just read. We know that Elisha was not in the best serving mood at all. In fact, if it wasn't for King Jehoshaphat, Elisha would have thrown out the other two kings. Elisha, we know this, Elisha wasn't taking one step without spending time in worship. Elisha tells the kings to do a very illogical, what in the world, this ridiculous thing to do. We know that Elisha reminds the kings what God is about to do is going to be very easy for him. And then he says this, he promises and he proclaims total victory over the Moabites. 2020 has been a year that we've had to dig deep. So here's my first thought. When we walk through seasons of having to dig deeper, the first thought is this. It brings us to a place where worship becomes more of a priority. I don't know if you guys remember, but back at the end of February when basically everything shut down, we as a church shut down. There was literally a very few amount of people that were allowed in here just to be able to do an online service for us. So what happened was just a month or two in, not even that long, guys, I began to long to be in his house. I wanted to worship with my family. Does everybody understand where I'm going with this? There was something that was taking place, and then I began to understand how much more, maybe that I overlooked sometimes, how much worship meant to me and my family. So here we are in that scripture. What does Elisha say? He just goes, now go get me a musician. Elisha was in no mood to be dealing with what was brought before him. In fact, Elisha tries to push them off onto other prophets. But King Joram basically says no, and he plays the God card. Did y'all catch that in the scripture? No, it was the Lord that set them against us. You know, so he's making sure he's playing it. If he's going to play it, that's when he was going to play it. And here's how Elisha answers it. Elisha answered, by the living Lord whom I serve, I swear. That is basically today's form of saying, I swear to God. I don't encourage you to talk that way, but that's what he's saying. Is everybody following that? He's saying, by the living Lord whom I serve, I swear that I would have nothing to do with you if it wasn't for King Jehoshaphat. So he says this, go get me a musician. And it says in Scripture that as soon as the worship began, it says that the power of the Lord was on Elisha. When you are having to dig deep, when you are fighting to keep your head above water, when you are simply just wanting to draw closer to God, find your times. Church, find your times of worship. Give your worship focus. Guys, listen, give it focus. Give it understanding. What do I mean by this? Well, when worship starts, this is what I encourage you to do from here on out, especially in this year. As soon as you're in a time of worship, just kind of deal with it. Say, what is going on right now? Why am I doing this right now? Paying attention to what is happening. As soon as you start to sing, pay attention to what's happening, how the atmosphere changes. Is everybody with me? Feeling these things. Get involved in these things. That you have audience with God. That there is an atmosphere change. Listening to what is the Holy Spirit going to say to me during my time of singing to the Lord, of giving my worship to Him. Prioritize worship in your day-to-day lives. If you're going to be digging deep, and you're going to be going through the things that you're going through, and you're having to do this, prioritize worship in your day-to-day lives. King Jehoshaphat had figured this out. Worship must be a priority. In 2 Chronicles 20, now here's a whole other story. Same king, but he's at a different war with the Moabites. Now we have the Moabites, the Ammonites, and all the otherites have come against him and all of Judah. And see, what happens is it's not good. And you've got these three countries, these three nations of people or communities of people that are about to come against Judah, and they're the ability to overtake them it's just daunting. It's going to happen. So we're in verse 14, and there's this Levite, a prophet, Yekaziel, who proclaimed, this is what he said, "Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed at this great horde, for the battle is not yours but God's." It says, "Tomorrow go down against them. You will not need to fight in this battle." Did everybody catch what I just read? Okay, so remember that. You will not need to fight in this battle. "Stand firm. Dig deep. Hold your position. Dig deep. And see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf, O Judah and Jerusalem. Do not be afraid and do not be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them and the Lord will be with you." So skipping down to verse 18 in the same story, it says that then Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all of Judah, the inhabitants of Jerusalem, fell down before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. So he understood that this was going to have to be a priority, that if they were going to go down into, listen, let me say this also. That is probably like when I'm thinking about going into a battle. And when we're stuck in the middle of a battle and we're having to dig deep, most of the time worship is not in the first thing of our minds. But the king had figured it out. In fact, as they are getting ready to go into battle that next day, he has all the Levites, he has all those that are going to lead the worship in the same garb. They're all dressed, they're in unison, they're like-minded. And he gives an entire nation, not just those that were leading, but that army that would follow them, the nation that was going to be praying for them, are saying the same thing. And look at what they're saying. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." There's not a lot to be thankful for with what's about to happen in this story. They're going to war. They've heard that you're not going to have to fight, but guys, listen, they still were sending out the worship team. They're still going with their spears, knives, and bows and going to where they're going to have to fight. It's one of the last things that you would be thankful for. When we're in the deep of the deep of what we go through, no matter what it is, our families that walk into these doors every day, we're always having something that can be completely different from somebody else, but it could be inside sometimes destroying us. Sometimes it's just bringing depression. Sometimes it's bringing anxiety. It's all these other things. And sometimes it's just difficult to find times to be thankful. But here it is. Look what he's saying. We're all going to sing this. We're all going to say this. "Give thanks to the Lord, for his steadfast love endures forever." So what happens is this worship starts. He figured it out. They started worshiping. And these three nations wake up to this roar of worship. And they start fighting each other because they don't know what's going on. So in verse 24, it says that when Judah came to the watchtower of the wilderness, they looked toward the horde, and behold, there were dead bodies lying on the ground. And it says that none had escaped. All they had to do and all they did was worship. Oh, but Pastor Matt, you don't understand. My marriage is struggling. I say worship. Worship first. You say, Pastor Matt, my job sucks. Yep, I've been there. I've had those jobs before. And what I say is just worship. I'm so stressed that I live in the land of anxiety and I feel hopeless. I say worship. Depression is overwhelming me and I need answers. I say worship your almighty God. Just give it to him. When you're digging deep, just worship. Psalms 13, 1 and 2 and verses 5 and 6 is, how long, Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I wrestle with my thoughts and the day after day have sorrow in my heart? How long will my enemy triumph over me? But I will trust in your unfailing love. My heart rejoices in your salvation, and I will sing the Lord's praise, for he has been good to me. Come on, amen. It's finally figuring out that not only are we to worship during times of digging deeper, but in that time of worship, being obedient. Listen to what I'm saying. We're going to be talking about this in a second. God is going to require some things from us that we're going to have to be able to say yes to be obedient and being thankful. Everybody say thankful. Remember, thanks 2020. No matter what, thankful. Pastor Brad brought that thought. I just want to say one more time to you. He says that in this circumstance, I will worship you and be thankful because. Find the because. Find them. Ask God to help you find them. When you're on your prayer times or you're in your car and you just pull over because you just can't hardly drive because this is taking over. Head faith is taking over the belly faith. This is taking it. So you pull over and you just say, God, show me the because so that I can be thankful, so that I can worship you. Amen. So when we walk through seasons of having to dig deeper, here's the second thought. We get to watch God do God things. Listen, I remember watching my dad do dad things. And I was convinced around the age 5 or 6 that my dad was Superman. Because he kind of lied to me. All right, and he told me he was Superman. And one day I was telling him, I said, Dad, you're not Superman. He just said, no, because watch this, son. And this is honest truth. They had my mom, dad, and them had a king-size bed. My dad was over on this side and flat-footed without having to take a step back. He jumped over the bed and landed on the other side without touching it. And I stood there and I went, you are Superman. But listen, here's the thing. When we talk about God doing God things, these are the things we can't explain. In the medical field, in the medical industry, doctors don't like to lean on miracles. But we understand that God does God things, amen? That he is a miracle-working God. We don't need science or medicine or an x-ray or an MRI or anything, other things to confirm what God has already done. If he heals us, if he delivers us, it's God. It's God things. I don't need that. And here's where we go. Sometimes God will ask something of us. Something that might not make sense or might not be the easiest thing to do, but if we will be obedient, again, to what he is asking of us, we get to watch the amazing happen. I was in my mid-20s. I was a youth pastoring and associate pastoring up in Northern California. We were in a building project. And we had this kind of large sanctuary, but then we were building a gymnasium and some new offices and stuff. And so the staff, I mean, we did a lot of the work, you know, just to save money and all that kind of stuff. And so, guys, I did all kinds of things. I learned how to bend rebar. I learned how to get down on my hands and knees and do thousands of square feet of tying these little cement blocks with wires over the rebar so that they could be lifted up for the concrete. I walked around for hours with a thing called a Tommy Whacker. Anybody know what a Tommy Whacker is? It looks like a Star Wars robot, and you turn it on, and it starts beating the ground, and you walk with it, and you let it go, and 4 hours later, you still think you're holding on to it. I delivered mud to the guys that were plastering the walls. There's a lot of plaster in California, and so they've got their Hawk and Trowels, and we're just delivering the mud. And this one day, I showed up and they go, hey, Matt, you know, they knew I wasn't afraid of heights. And they said, we want you to climb up. It was about 25, 30 feet up. And there was these big, long beams about 30 feet and about 10 feet wide. And they needed fire blocks put in. You guys know what fire blocks are and what they're needed for? Well, today they've got all kinds of fire retardant type stuff that they use for that. But back in the, when I was doing them, it sounds like I'm saying I'm old, but back in the day, I'm just saying they were these huge, thick wood blocks that we were hammering in every so many feet. And what it does is it slows the fire down. It starves it of oxygen. And as it fights through to have to get through this block and the next block, it just slows it down so the fire department can get there. So I'm up there, and within 5 minutes of being up there, I realize, why did I say yes to this? Because I'm walking on these beams with nothing under me. Lori would have been so mad if she'd have known I was up there. And my every twitch fiber from my ankle through my knees, my thighs, my rear end, my back was just firing, trying to keep balance. And I'm hammering in these things. And finally, they're like, okay, because I was telling them, I was like, I'd look down and go, guys, I'm tired. And they finally threw me up an air gun. And I'm nailing them in. It didn't really make it any easier. But guys, listen to this. I'm literally just straight legging over and over and over, over and over and over. So the next day, guess what? I wake up. And I don't know if I've ever been that sore in my life. In the second day, it got worse. Guys, it got so bad that I could not sit down, being transparent, to go to the restroom. I don't know how I went to the restroom, to be honest with you. And when I would come back to work, and the guys knew I was sore, and they would slap me on the rear end when I'd walk by, you know, because I was in so much pain. But guys, here's the thing. My putting in the fire blocks, my walking around for hours with that Tommy Whacker, tying up rebar, digging trenches for the plumbing, delivering plaster, was all for this process to seeing a building project come to completion. God will ask us to do things that make no sense sometimes, where we would ask him, say, God, why are you asking me to do this? Remember in the scripture, he says this, the kings are coming to him. They're freaking out over the Moabites. They come into Elisha's presence, and what does he say after he worships? He just goes, go out and start digging some ditches all throughout the valley. Just go out there and do it. That is probably the last thing they wanted to do in this hot area, but that's what God asked them to do. We were in El Salvador back in the mid-80s during the guerrilla war. We went down for a three-week missions trip down there, and we were in the vet hospitals ministering to 11 and 12, 13-year-old soldier boys with their legs blown off and arms blown off, talking to them about Jesus. We went all throughout all the villages around San Salvador. And if you look at these pictures here, you'll see there's Lori up in the top giving some haircuts down here with this young cutie. And then over there, we're holding the rifle. She got to do all the fun stuff. Let me just say that up front. But guys, we had gone out to this one village. And it had taken us about 3 hours to get there. And about an hour of it was going through the jungle where we were only going like 10 to 15 miles an hour. And we finally get there, and there's three vans. I'm in the last one, so all the people are getting out, and then the next van would pull up, next one, whatever. And by the time we got out, they had already handed out the jobs. They were like, you're going to cut hair, you're going to do this, you're going to go hut to hut and tell them about God, you're going to, you know, this. And me and my buddy get out of the back of the van on the last one, and they put a shovel in both of our hands and said, we need you to repair the latrines and dig them a new irrigation. And I went, and I looked around, because we're in the jungle, and I looked around, I go, there's no way they got bathrooms out here. And then I quickly realized that it's just this hut over there with three holes in the floor for women and three holes in the floor for men. And I go, I should have got out of the van quicker. I'm telling you, man. And so I walked down. We walked down this hill to get behind the latrine. And we finally broke through. I forgot what we did to do it, but it came out. And guys, it was all over us. We were wet. We were hot. We were not in the best of the moods, wondering, like, why would, you know, God in whatever. But about an hour or two into it, we had finally just got focused, and we started building the irrigation that they needed and started working. And here was the thing, was that at one point when we finally finished, about 6 hours later, I'm sitting there and I'm in this and going in and out of not consciousness, but it did stink. But if we ever needed masks, that would have been it. But we were down there cleaning and stuff. And when we finally got done, and I'll admit, I was tired. I was a little attitude-y. I was hungry, the whole thing, and I come up out the top of the hill, and there's about 10 to 12 little small El Salvadorian women, grandmas and whatever, and they are cheering and clapping and loving on us, washing our faces. They basically gave us baths with our clothes on and was stuffing food in our mouths while they were taking care of us. They were trying to comb our hair. They couldn't even reach the top of my head. And they're just trying to take care of us. And guys, I'm sitting there and I'm understanding that sometimes, here's the thing, is that we don't understand why God asks us to do the things that we do. But there's always a plan with God. And he knows what it's doing for somebody else. So we get in the vans. I'm going to fast forward this. We spent the day. We get in the vans and we're leaving. Everybody's emotional. It's been a great experience. And we're in the last van again and we're driving. And about 15 minutes into it, we probably got 3 miles down. And we saw this little hut with this little 13-year-old girl. And she was selling sodas. And the way they sell sodas out in the jungle is that they have some liters of Coke and they're all flat. But they're cold, at least, and they pour them into a sandwich baggie. Not a Ziploc baggie, a sandwich bag. Pour it in, and they stick a little straw in there, and they put a rubber band around it, and that's your Coke. And we got out, and we bought 30 of those things. We were thirsty, and she probably made more money than she had made in a long time. And we're sitting there, the other two vans are gone, and we're just sitting there, and all of a sudden we hear this young dude screaming in the jungle, like yelling. And we all turn and look back, and here comes this 18, 19-year-old man. And what I didn't tell you was while we were in that village working, all the men and all the young men were working in the banana fields and working out in the rice fields and things that they were doing out there. And they missed it. And here is this one young man that ran probably over 3 miles to catch us because he missed his chance to get a Bible. I often thought, like, God, what if we wouldn't have stopped? How long would he have ran just to get that Bible? But here's the thought, is this is why we are obedient to what God asks us to do. It's because, listen, pay attention to what I said. Men and young men came back, but only one came for the Bible. One in desperation, wanting to find and have what had been left back there, but he thought he had missed it. And he made his way to find us and to have that. It might not make sense. It might not be what you have envisioned. I promise you, when we broke up, opened the back of that toilet, it was not what I was envisioning of leading people to Christ. But it is all part of a plan. To see something come to completion, to experience victory in your life, to see victory in other people's lives. Listen, like I said, we have people that come through these doors and they've got family issues. Their families aren't talking to each other. They're hurt. There's been abuse. There's dysfunction. We have people that come in here with financial strain where they're literally just thinking this, I am so sick of thinking about money. People that have relationship problems. There's been communication breakdown, that there's intimacy issues, actually still looking for the right one to come into their lives. And then you have those that come in with just faith struggles, hearing from God, wanting, you know, not wanting to feel abandoned, needing answers, and basically saying, God, your timing is getting on my nerves. All of these are important to God. Did you guys understand? I've said this before. It's okay to be angry at the Lord. It's okay. He's big enough to handle it. I promise you that. He just wants you to talk to him. He wants you to be obedient. He wants you to worship. He wants you to find relationship with him. And see, Apostle Paul understood this better than anybody. He understood what it meant to dig deep. In Colossians 2, 6, 7, he says this, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Why was it so important for Paul to write these words to the people of Colossae? Paul knew that the temptation for them to fall back on what was the old ways could possibly rise up on them. Guys, when we start struggling sometimes, there's this temptation just to, man, I wish it was back here. I wish it was back like this years ago. I wish it was back like it was in 1980. But no, God's always wanting us to go this way, right? Amen? To the future of what he wants. Paul knew that persecution was imminent. that they would need to stand strong, that horse stance, a posture, strong posture in faith. Paul knows that in times of difficulty, digging deep is going to be critical. Look at the words that are in the scripture. Rooted, built up. How about, in fact, just change built up with grounded or established. All, guys, I'm not an English major, but all of those are passive verbs. So what does that say? That there is this sense in which this process of being rooted or grounded and established is something that happens to you. Is everybody following where I'm going with this? Don't get me wrong. These are all actions that we all have to participate, personally digging in, working on our relationship with Jesus. But in the sense in which someone else, God himself, is bringing about the activities in our lives. Look, us growing, you and I experiencing Jesus Christ is not something that we're intended just to carry on our shoulders alone. Did you know, listen to this, God is involved. God actually wants to be involved in your life. Not when it's just good, but when you're having to dig deep, God wants to be there. In fact, what did we read in the scripture earlier where it said it is what? Easy. It's easy for him. All of us at the same time could be in a place of desperation, and it's easy for him to take care of each and every one of us. If we are wanting to dig deeper, if we are facing times of difficulty, or we just want to draw close to God, he is ready, and he is ready for whatever you might need. Give me an amen for that. So thank you, 2020, for causing us to dig deeper, because it led us to being more rooted, grounded, and established in God. Remember how Paul ended that charge. Look at it again. To be rooted and built up in him and established in faith, just as you were taught, abounding in what? Listen, this is not even a big deal, and you're probably all going to be looking at what are you complaining about. But my wife asked me to, she's been asking for a while to get the wallpaper off this dining room and get it painted and this whole thing. Well, guys, I got in there and we had somebody come in and took out the wallpaper, and I thought, well, all I got to do is put a little bit of mud on there and get it all smooth and whatever. Well, guys, I get in there and it didn't go as quick as I thought it was going to go. So I started grumbling. I wasn't thankful. And I'm literally, I remember even in the time I was sitting there, and I was sitting there going, Matt, you're about to preach on this Sunday. You better start getting thankful. So I got up, I got my phone, and I turned on a little bit of worship and stuff, you know, and changed my little attitude. And then it happens. Listen, we walk in him, right? So we walk in him in obedience. And so I would say this, walk in him in obedience and be thankful for what he does in our lives. So at this time, the worst tip, if you want to come up, and here's the thing, you guys, I want to close this thought out, is that when we do this, when we're obedient and when we're thankful, we get to watch. We get a front row seat and get to watch God be God. How many of you can lift your hands and say, I've had a front row seat to something before, a ball game, whatever? You know what that feels like. You know, you walk down and all the other people are watching you walk to the front, and you're like, yeah, I got front row seat. You know what I'm saying? And you get up there and you've got this perspective that nobody else has. And that's the thing that God wants to do. God gets involved, and he wants to be involved, and we get the front row seat to watch God do God things. I want to close this out. So we started the story with the three kings. They're getting ready to take on Meshach. He is rebelling. He's ready to take them out one at a time. And here's where we are in the story now. So they did what God asked them. They dug the ditches. The next morning in scripture says that water flowed from Edom and filled all the ditches. In fact, it says, and the land was filled with water. The next morning, the Moabites wake up. The sun is coming up on the Israelite side. And so the Moabites think it's blood. They see it as blood. So they think the three kings turned on each other, had their own little war. They start celebrating and decide they're going to go down into the valley and loot it. Take the rewards of the spoils of war. So they go down, and obviously it wasn't blood. And the Israelites were waiting on them. The three kings were waiting on them, and they destroyed them. Guys, here's the thought. The formula for victory, I'm going to give it to you, is worship. It's sometimes having to dig deep and letting God do God things. We walk through seasons of having to dig deeper. And here's the two thoughts again. Worship must become a priority. Make it a priority. And secondly, sit back, take the front row seat, and watch God do God things. Make sure that you take this home. Everything that God asks us to do, no matter how crazy it might sound, if we will be obedient and do it with an attitude of thankfulness, God will give us complete. Everybody sing complete. Remember, we're doing this to complete something, but to complete victory in our lives. Worship, deeply rooted, built up, grounded, established, obedient, and thankful. All of this leads to completion and victory in the Lord. Last scripture, Luke 6:47 says this, and this is Jesus talking. Anyone who comes to me and listens to my words and obeys them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man in building his house, dug deep and laid the foundation on rock. The river flooded over and hit that house, but could not shake it. Remember, sometimes we feel like water's getting over our head, but if we will take that firm posture of faith, standing strong, we cannot be shaken because it says it was well built. Thanks, 2020, for making me dig deeper. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise for his word this morning.